You are listening to a sermon by John Clausen, recorded on Sunday, March 15, 2015, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
That was such wonderful singing, I had to stop singing for a while because I have to say it by voice. Okay, I was under a lot of pressure to get Erna the title, not to her fault, but my own. I waited so long. And I couldn't decide whether to put an R or an and between those two words. And you changed it to and this morning. It's fine. I was undecided, so why not? But finally, I changed it from a culture of dissatisfaction to radical gratitude, so there's kind of a progress there. So as human beings, we come easily to dissatisfaction and irritation, for example, when the software doesn't work, and things are not quite to our liking. Even when things are good, we find it tough to be grateful and gracious. I want to tell you a little bit of experience I had about two and a half years ago when Alice had an accident on a Paris street. I felt totally helpless in terms of being able to help her. And I noticed, I was on my knees on the street, and I noticed a man came by and gently pushed me aside. And I said in my faulty French, "Est-ce qu'il y a un médecin ici?" And they pointed to him. He is a doctor. And he then, and I said then, "Merci beaucoup," so there's the thank you. Through his skill and care, Alice soon again breathed and returned to consciousness. Later, when we were back in BC, I wrote to the emergency services in Paris inquiring whether they knew that doctor's identity. I wanted to go a little further with my contact with him. I didn't get any response for the longest time, and then I was pleasantly surprised about a month and a half later and moved by a letter from the chief corporal of the paramedic department of Paris. He wrote, and these are his words, "My superiors have passed on to me your letter of gratitude. It affected me greatly, as it did my team. It is rare for people to thank us for our work, and that such a letter should come from Canada is even more rare. Unfortunately, I did not note the name of the physician who helped your wife before our arrival. I talked to a young friend of mine who works for the BC paramedics, and he said it's the same in Canada or in BC." So it is tough to give thank you, even in this case. My attempt to follow through just didn't go anywhere. My friend in Paris said, "We don't do that in Paris. We don't." Like, I want to put something in the paper and say, "Is this? Does this?" I finally decided that was Jesus who showed up and then left quickly. So the four passages today are about dissatisfaction and gratefulness. The first one describes the people's impatience on the flight away from Egypt. Basically, they're ungrateful to God, even though God is supplying the food for free. But as we also, when I was in a Mennonite high school, we complained about the food too. And I very much liked that. The wording, I love it. This food is horrible, or something like that, in the text. And so that's. And what happens then is God sends a snake. It's kind of mean of God, isn't it? Just sending a snake to kill people for complaining. But that's what happened. And then they repent and they come back to Moses and said, "We're wrong. Pray to God that he will save us." And God does. With another snake that's hanging from a tree, and it's made of metal. Now, the snakes in the ancient world were very, very everywhere, as gods, both in Egypt and in Mesopotamia and Sumer. They were worshipped by the people. And the snakes were both, there was a female snake and there was a male snake. The female snake was the goddess of goodness, of life, of healing, care. all the good things that you'd want in life. The male snake didn't get those roles. He was the god of death. He was the god of destruction. But these were pagan, well-known gods that God of the Hebrews invites in to help him out, so to speak. That's very strange, especially because they're pagan. They're not us. They're the other tribes, those other tribes, not our tribes. Of course, the Hebrews were relatively new as a tribe. They had just left Egypt, and so they hadn't yet formally or very tightly locked in their emblems. Nevertheless, this pagan symbol was the one that God used. That's why I'm also interested in this, because in Manitoba you may have read about stories of how the MCC wanted to ask some Aboriginal women to come in, and they wanted to do some smudging, and the church, the Pentecostal church, wouldn't let them do that in their church because that's a pagan symbol. Well, God had no such fear of pagan gods. You come on in here and do some of my work for me. Okay, so, and the psalmist now, he takes that same theme, and you can see as read that he's alluding to this other event. It's also about eating, and it's also about sinning. But he is offering a totally opposite perspective on it, that life is good, and even when it's bad, it's worth thanking for. Have you ever gone through your whole life and thanked God for everything that has happened? I start with my mother giving birth to me. And when I said that at LMF, the youth just roared with laughter. Like, who else would give birth to you, right? But then I come sometimes to this to periods in my life which were not happy. And I sometimes pause then. I say, what did I do here? Do I actually thank for this? There was one particular moment I remember, and I was really asking myself, shall I thank for this? And suddenly, without any, just coming out of almost nowhere, I was covered with a feeling of great bliss. I don't normally talk that way, but that's what happened. So there is something to thanking for everything in life that happens. Because if you don't thank for those 5 years when things were tough, you'd be 5 years younger, and you'd be without that life. It would be a totally different life, wouldn't it? Okay. So the psalmist then is thanks the Lord because God is good to his people, and his love abides forever. It's always there. God gathers his people from all over the world, not just from our tribe. He is gracious to people even when they have sinned and when they have abandoned God. God heals them. So for this reason, the psalmist said, people should offer thanksgiving with songs of joy. Apostle Paul picks up the psalmist's theme of gratitude towards God. Now, into this world then, starting with Moses and his people, moving to the psalmist, moving then into the intertestament period and into the New Testament period, we find God is always at work trying to change things, trying to bless his people, trying to be kind to his people. What happened when Jesus came, the Son of God, was a cosmic event. It wasn't just It wasn't just a little event. It was cosmic. It changed the whole meaning of the cosmos and the universe. Now, John Taves. Now, there's a lot of John Taveses around. So, the one I'm talking about now is the one who wrote the commentary on Romans. He refers to when Paul is referring to sin. John says, and he's counted. He knows Greek, and so he's counted the different words. And he uses mostly a word that means sin as a force in life. Sort of like gravity. That's what John Taves' words are. It's not a force that any one of us can do anything about. Well, you can build an airplane and, of course, keep it at bay for a while, gravity, but eventually you have to come down too. It's not something that you can change. Now, You can take precautions, though. You can be careful when you're walking along the sidewalk that you've been, especially in Vancouver, they're very bumpy some places. Maybe not in the West End, but further out, close to Canby, they are bumpy. So you can take caution, precautions. You can make careful that you don't step over the edge of the roof when you're fixing it. And probably you shouldn't be climbing any ladders at all. There are vigorous, trained people who know how to fix your roof, so let them do it. There are precautions, and when John Tave says that this sin is a force, there are, again, little precautions that we can take there, like we and that are advisable, that are precautions that maybe you can be friendly to somebody rather than angry. Maybe you can bring somebody food who needs food. Those are little precautions. Some people think that they actually save your life. In other words, if you didn't do those things, you'd go to hell. I don't think that's true. But there are still good things to do. And there are precautions just like it is, like we take when we want to fight gravity, keep gravity at bay. And gravity is one of the most powerful forces in the whole cosmos. We deal with it when it's in a relatively weak state. But if you would run into a black hole in space, and they are there, there would be nothing you could do about that. If you got anywhere close to it, it would just suck you right in, and you'd be absolutely finished. How do I know that? Well, people who've studied these things told me that. And so there's nothing you can do about that. Sin is, in a sense, the same way. We're hopeless before, but John Tate said so. It's got to be. Sin is a way, is something that draws us in. We have not a chance in the world, really, to redeem ourselves. We've tried. The church has come repeatedly up with little codes of behavior. Do this, do that, don't do that. And it's right from the beginning. They generally tend to end up with the one that we give let go of the least willingly is that sex is a sin. And it's very early in the New Testament, not in the New Testament, in the early church, a guy called Ambrose issued a decree, or issued a statement, and he got the Pope to issue the decree, that special people in the church are those who are virgins all their life. Non-virgins are Christians, they can be baptized, but they can only be baptized by somebody who is a virgin. And why did he say that? I don't know. But that's the one that carries throughout the 2,000 centuries. If you look at our own church, we build up little codes of behavior. And if we don't do those things, we kick out the people. We don't actually do that. We shun them. We say, you can't be a member here. That's not going to help us all, at all, to gain God's love. It's not. That's what Paul says here in Ephesians. We are saved entirely by grace, lest anybody should boast. So that's why I said that so enthusiastically and confidently. That's just not going to help you, because Paul said so. But we still linger. Beautiful. If you read the Canadian Mennonite, maybe you have another Mennonite paper you want to read, they don't say these things. But the Canadian Mennonite, the big discussion about what kinds of sins we can allow in our church. And the one that is the most consistent is we cannot allow homosexuality, because that's a sexual sin. We cannot allow divorced people, although we've kind of let go on that one a little. But that's what it comes down to. But what Paul is saying, that won't make any difference to your salvation. The only thing that makes difference, you might say, well, it's still a good precaution to take, like you walk carefully on a sidewalk. But it's not going to make any difference. It's all about what God did. And that's why I said that's this cosmic act. Totally, didn't nullify, but controlled the power of sin. Now, the black hole, you're still on your own, I think. But if you stay away from black holes, God has taken care of everything that you're going to have to worry about. That is why we can be grateful. And the time I came across this word grateful as so central to it all is in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says something to about, he's going through the history of how we got to where we are, and he says, and people stopped honoring God and thanking him. And then it all broke loose after that, he says. All things went wrong. He's not referring, he of course knows about Adam and Eve, and he talks about them too. But he says that the key thing is we stopped saying thank you. It's very simple. The word thank you and the act of thanksgiving is the act of belief, is the act of faith. So both in Ephesians and in Romans, Paul developed a theology which pointed to God's free gift of salvation. No human codes of ethics could neutralize the power of sin. It's too powerful for that. So all, they say, have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. So people of faith are those who do not allow themselves to be pushed into positions from which they have to judge others. Sin, for Paul, is a power force that conquers all and enslaves all creation. There are still many of us who want to keep track of good deeds, hoping that the more good deeds I do, the more bad deeds I'm also doing will then be erased. It's one historian has called that like keeping accounts. Religion as a matter of keeping accounts. You write down here, oh, I did all these bad things, but look at all the good things I've done, and if the good things outnumber or outweigh, then you're okay. But when it comes to the force of sin, it's all in vain. So God, as John said, and John is the one who makes a cosmic statement about the defeated sin, that death has been overcome. John began his gospel with the announcement of this cosmic significance, that Jesus had died on the cross. He was the archetypical word from God. Jesus was present when life and light were created, and now for all mankind the light shines in and overcomes the darkness, John says. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. God chose people and God's salvation. God chose people and God's salvation is meant for them. It is not canceled because people are unfaithful. God is faithful. God uses even human rebellion to proclaim the divine name and to make known the riches of his glory in all of earth. I love a passage from Luther's Easter Day sermon. And I'm going to. Luther is talking in these sermons to peasants and workers who have not had anything even resembling grade one that we all have had. So he's teaching to an illiterate audience. And so he draws the picture with his words. You have heard, he says, in the Passion, how Christ let himself be crucified and buried, and how sin and death trampled him underfoot. And then he goes into detail about devils dancing on Jesus' coffin because he's won. And then Luther says, this is our comfort, that Christ comes forth. Death, sin, and the devil cannot hold him. The sin of the entire world is powerless. One sees in him neither death, in Jesus, neither death nor sin nor sadness, but sheer life and joy. Because today he comes forth from the grave and remains in honor and glory and everything that the devil, that sin and death have done is destroyed. And yet it is true, a believer has no sin and is Lord over sin. So rather than railing against all the sins still present in the church, our time is probably better spent being messengers of God's peace, fearlessly announcing God's salvation. Those words come from the Take Our Moments and Our Days, the meditation book that Evan and John Paves and Suderman and a few other people paid money for so that they could publish it. That's a great book. Now, Mary Jo Leddy has published a book called Radical Gratitude, and I'm going to end with her comments. That Jesus, she says, embodied radical gratitude in his life.
He accepted that he had been born of God, and he gave himself freely in thanks to God. In small deeds, Jesus showed that even a whisper of one person can fill out and grow into a global undertaking of friendship and community. A small whisper starts and catches on, and people like it, and they take it and turn it into a global undertaking of friendship and community. Rather than let his life waste away, Jesus offered it willingly. When I read that, I was incredibly liberated. Because when you're retired, you're thinking you're letting your life waste away, aren't you? And you're not. God's forgiveness frees us to make a new beginning, and a cycle of resentment and antagonism can be broken. The cycle of complaining, the cycle of resentment and antagonism. This is what it can mean when we act from a sense of gratitude rather than from dissatisfaction. Through gratitude, we nourish a sense of astonishment at the miracle of life, at being born again. We cease taking it for granted, life, and cease fearing death. So gratitude, she says, is the beginning of our faith and the hope in the possibility of creating something new in the world of becoming, and of becoming something new. God bless you.